The Lord's had this on my heart for quite some time. I really haven't been able to get away from it. I just feel like there's so much here. And I pray that the Lord will take our feeble words tonight and apply His Word and help us and give us something that we can use. Romans chapter 4, what a wonderful chapter we have here in the Scriptures. And by way of introduction, I'd like to read just a couple of verses and hit a couple of mountaintops across this chapter before we dive into some verses there in the middle. If you look with me in verse 1, we'll begin reading there, where the Apostle Paul writes, he says, "What shall we say then? That Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." This has become one of my favorite verses in all the Scripture. It did not say Abraham was born into the right family. It didn't say that he had a certain amount of wealth or a certain amount of status or that he completed a certain list of tasks. But it simply says Abraham had faith. Abraham believed God. And God counted it to him for righteousness. Now let's take a leap across 1,000 years to verse 6 and see what Paul had to say about David. Abraham said, "I believe God, and it was counted to me for righteousness." And then David had the same testimony where it says in verse 6, "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." I'm glad that salvation was by grace through faith through Abraham. And I'm glad it changed when it got to David. It didn't have to do with the things that he wore and the things that he ate and the things that he did and didn't do and all the sacrifices. He could never keep that to perfection. He could never amount all those works to count himself righteousness. It took the grace of God in his life to impute righteousness to his account. But let's take another 1,000-year jump. Look at verse 23. We've seen that Abraham said, "I was saved by grace through faith." David gave the same testimony. He said it was grace. It was the grace of God through faith. And in verse 23, the Apostle Paul writes and says, "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." I'm glad it didn't stop with Abraham and it didn't stop at David, but it's made it all the way to us. The Gentiles can get in on the same promise. We have the same grace of God that has been extended to us if we will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad there's nothing that we can do. I'm glad there's no amount of works, no amount of religion. But it took the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God looked at him and was satisfied, Isaiah wrote in chapter 53. And there's nothing I can do. It's all about what Christ has already done. Salvation by grace through faith. I'm thankful that this walk with God that we have is initiated by faith. It's by faith. And I want to submit to you tonight that if we have been saved by faith, if we started in faith, that the righteousness of Christ came into our life because of faith, and we've been brought into the family of God by faith, and we ought to live each and every day by faith. We started in faith. We were born in faith. We ought to live by faith till one day our faith becomes tight. When we see that day that John wrote about, when he said, "Beloved, we are now the sons of God, but it hath not yet appeared what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." One of these days, my faith will become sight, but until then, we must walk by faith. And I believe there's some things we can learn about walking by faith here from Romans chapter 4, particularly from the life of Abraham. I'd like to pray, and then we'll jump into verse 16. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. Lord, it's so amazing. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us the righteousness of Christ. Lord, we never could have attained. We never could have done it on our own. It took the precious blood of your Son. We thank you for that free gift. Lord, tonight I pray that as we look into this text and we try to learn some things about walking by faith, I pray that you would open our eyes, open our hearts. I pray the Holy Spirit would apply these things to our life. Draw us near to thee tonight. Lord, we love thee. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look with me in verse 16, we'll jump right into it for sake of time. Verse 16, we read here about Abraham. And I believe there's three things that we can learn from Abraham's walk of faith here from this chapter 9. I'll point those out to you. First of all, what I want to view is this, that there are great consequences to faith. The consequences of faith. Verse 16, it says this, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. So we see here in this verse that God is using faith to bring about a certain end. Did you know that God has a purpose? God is not working just randomly. He's not just throwing things out to see what will happen, but God is working providentially, and God is working to bring about a certain end in our lives. He has a purpose and a plan. And then we read here that in Abraham's life, that end that was to be brought about by his faith was this, that the promise might be sure to all the seed. This promise that's referenced, we find in Genesis chapter 12. When God came to where Abraham was and said, I want you to leave the Ur of the Chaldees and I want you to come with me. I want you to go with me. I'm going to bring you to a land. He said, I'm going to bless you and you're going to be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless you and I'll curse them that curse you. And he said, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. This is the promise that God used Abraham to make sure to all the seed, that all nations of the earth would be blessed. But who is this seed that are the heirs of the promise? Well, it says here in our verse 16, it is not to that only which is of the law. That would be the direct descendants of Abraham, the Israelites, the Jews, those that came forth from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That which is of the law, that seed which is of the law. It says that the promise was made sure to that seed. But I thank God that's not where it stopped. Because he said it's not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. You say, what in the world are you trying to tell me tonight, Brother Clay? Let me put it to you like this. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. And I am one of them. And so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Listen, that's not just a song that we heard when we were kids and that we sang and we sang at VBS to have fun. But that's Bible doctrine. See, Christ came from heaven and shed His precious blood so they might tear down the middle wall of partition that was between us. As Gentiles, we were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. We had not received the promises of God. We were foreigners. We were enemies. We were strangers. But by the blood of Christ, we've been brought nigh. And God has grafted us in to the family of Abraham. There's neither Jew nor Greek, but we're all one in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been made heirs to the promise. Hallelujah. That promise that was made to Abraham way back when in Genesis chapter 12 has been made sure unto us who believe. And how did God do it? He did it through faith. Here's what I'm trying to get to tonight in this first point is when we talk about the consequences of faith, our faith mean something for somebody else. Somebody else is counting on our faith. God is working in our lives so that somebody else, through our faith, might receive the promise. You think Abraham knew about the Independent Baptist Church of Anchorage in Genesis chapter 12? No, he didn't know anything. All he knew was that God said, come, and he went. And through that step of faith, God has brought about everything that we have. God has brought about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We wouldn't have a book. We wouldn't have a message to preach. We wouldn't have a salvation to rejoice in tonight if it weren't for God using Abraham to bring it all about. Bring it to us. Oh, somebody's counting on your faith. There are great consequences. God wants to use you to do more than what you could ever comprehend or understand. He's going to do it through your faith. But I got to move on tonight. Number two, not only are there consequences to faith, God's working. God has a plan. God's moving to bring about a certain end that will bring glory to Him. But in verse 17, this is what we read about the faith of Abraham. Notice this. Before him whom he believed. I think we ought to be careful to notice tonight that it does not say what he believed. I'm afraid that there's too many of us who tonight our confidence, oh, that's my second point, by the way, the confidence of faith, that our confidence lies in a what. Our faith should not rest in circumstances. Our faith cannot rest in how we feel. Our faith cannot rest in people who we know or what we know or our job or our ideas. Our faith cannot rest in our bank account. It's not in a what tonight. But Abraham said, it was a whom that I believed. And that whom that he put his faith and trust in was the Lord God Almighty. In whom he believed, even God. God's not left us to walk about blindly, to walk about with nothing to stand on. He told us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And first of all, regarding the confidence of our faith tonight, it rests in the person of God, who God is. You know what God had to say to Abraham? He said, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. He said, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees. He said, I am the Almighty God. The next book, God looked at Moses and he summed it all up. Listen, he's a shield, he's almighty, he's our protection, he's our strength. But he looked at Moses and just said, I am. Whatever you need, that's what I am. And then Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Our faith rests in who God is tonight. Aren't you glad that we can trust in an almighty, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God who reigns in heaven, who is always the same, never changing. He's always been and He always will be. That's who our faith rests in tonight. Not only in who God is, in the person of God, but the confidence of our faith is in the power of God. Look what it says next in our verse here. He is God who quickeneth the dead. Why can we trust God? Not just because of who He is, but because of what He can do. He's the God who raises the dead. He's the God that takes something that is broken, something that's messed up, something that has been given up on by everybody else. They've taken it and buried it in the ground because they said it's not worth anything anymore. That's what God can work with. And God can take that thing that is broken and rotten and ruined and raise it from the dead and use it for His glory. That's the God we serve tonight. He's the God who spoke to that widow as she carried her son to the graveyard and met the party as they left the city of Nain and sent the boy walking home with his mama alive when he was on his way to be buried in the ground. He's the God that stood at Lazarus' tomb and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came hopping out in his grave clothes. He's the God who went to Jairus' house. And though they mocked him and scorned him and they laughed at him, he went to the bedroom. He grabbed the little dead girl by the hand, raised her from the dead, and told him to give her something to eat. That's three resurrections Jesus Christ performed in the Gospels. But there is one more resurrection that we find in the Gospels. When he took his own life and laid it down, and then on his own power picked it back up again. He was buried in a tomb, but on the third day he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He is the God who quickeneth the dead. Not only does God quicken the dead, but he calleth those things which be not as though they were. This was not as easy to understand. We've got to look at this for a second. Make sure we don't miss this. He calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now listen, I'm from Mississippi. I'm not that smart. But this much I do know. That in order to raise somebody or something from the dead, there's got to be something there. Lazarus was dead 4 days. He already stunk, but he was there. That boy was on his way to the graveyard, but he was there. Jairus' daughter was dead, but she was laying there in the bed, dead. Yes, God can take what is broken and fix it. But this says God calleth those things which be not. Meaning, he doesn't have anything to work with. He's not taking something that's broken and fixing it. But he's taking nothing and making something out of it. Listen, the best biblical illustration I can give you for this is Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But then God stepped out into nothing, and he spoke by the power of his word and said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God did not take wood and make the trees. He did not take stone and make the mountains. But God Almighty spoke, and the skies were filled with birds, and the seas were filled with fish, and the mountains rose, and the forests were formed, because God called those things which were not as though they were. God doesn't just do the improbable, but God can do the impossible. But when we look at the confidence of our faith, what it's resting in, it's in who God is. It's in what God can do. But look what else it said right here in verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Listen to this next phrase. I promise if you'll get a hold of this, this will change your life because it's changed mine. He said, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. I'm afraid tonight that many of our brethren have a faulty definition of what faith is. Paul wrote later in Romans that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's too many of us that step out hoping that God is going to bless what we're doing. We think we come up with a spiritual idea, and we cross our fingers, and we pray, and God might just magically make it all work out. Listen. He's the God that can. But if he was just the God that can, that wouldn't be enough. He's not just the God that can, but he's the God that has spoken to us and said that he will. He's given us his word. And there's too many of us who are going about trying to do what we want to do, trying to go about our own way, hoping God will bless it, rather than going according to what God has spoken. I'm not going to the Philippines because I think it's a good idea, because I think they need another missionary, because I think I'm a good preacher, or because I think I know how to go start church. None of that's true. The reason I'm going to the Philippines is because as I prayed for the will of God, God took His Word and spoke to my heart and showed me through His Word and confirmed to me through His Word His will. And when I go and when we get to that place where we're able to get on that plane and fly to that country and get off of that plane and start the work that God's called us to do, I'll be standing in the Philippines, but I'll be standing on something much greater than that. I'll be standing on the promises of God, trusting in the Word of God. Genesis chapter 15, Abraham's having some doubts and some fears, some confusion about these promises that God has made to him. But then it says this in verse 4. And the word of the Lord came unto Abram. I wonder if what we're doing, what we're giving ourselves to tonight, are we walking according to the word of the Lord that has been given unto us? Listen, this book is alive. God speaks to us through this book. I promise you that if you will pray and ask God for His will and you will read His Word, He will show you what He wants you to do through the pages of this book. Just like He did Abraham, just like He did Moses, just like He did Elijah, just like He did David, just like He always has. Because that's where faith begins. It begins with the Word of God. Faith is taking God at His Word. It's that simple. Let me show you one last thing in closing tonight. The consequences of faith. God is working. God's not leading us blindly, but He's leading us to a certain end, a certain purpose. He's not asked us to do it without anything to stand on, but He's given us Himself. He's given us His power, and He's given us His promises. We can have confidence in those things. That's what we stand on. I want to show you last of all tonight the certainty of faith. Verse 19, this is what it said about Abraham. And being not weak in faith. You say, what's the difference between certainty and confidence? Well, right here it says you can be weak in faith. You might believe God. You might believe that He can. You might believe even that He will. But that faith is coupled with fear and doubt and confusion and worry. And that faith is weak. Here's what it said about Abraham. Verse 19. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. I'm interested in that phrase there. He considered not. You know, if there's ever been anybody that had something that they could say, I don't think God can do what He said He's going to do in my life, it was Abraham. If anybody ever had a list of excuses to bring to God, some complaints, it was Abraham. But you know what we find in our example, Abraham, tonight? It says he considered not. He didn't even give it a thought that his body was dead, that Sarah's womb was dead, that what God was asking him to do was simply impossible. It says he considered not. I'm afraid we spend way too much time giving consideration to things and reasons as to why we believe God wouldn't do what He said He would do in our lives. If we're not careful, we'll sit around and we'll worry ourselves to death with all the considerations of how dead our body is, how dead Sarah's womb is. The Hebrew writer said this about Abraham. He was as good as dead. You want to know the truth about tonight? We've all got faults and failures and shortcomings, and we all lack. We're all nothing without God. We're all in the same boat as Abraham, as good as dead. But that's the whole point. It's not about us. It's not about what we can do. It's not about what we can accomplish. It's about what God wants to do through us. And it's about trusting Him to bring about His purpose and plan. I'll finish tonight with this verse. Verse 21. I believe this is where God, in His grace, is working in our lives to bring us to this place to where we could stand and say this same statement. And being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. I'm sure you got some faith tonight, but I wonder, are you fully persuaded? What's God doing in your life? What is the Word of God impressed upon you that God wants you to do? Are you doing that? Or have you drawn back and you're considering? You're staggering at the promises of God. And you're wondering if God's really able to do what He said He would do. I want to encourage you tonight to trust Him. I want to encourage you tonight to stand as the Apostle Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Fully persuaded that what God has promised, He's able also to perform. I'm going to pray and turn it over to you, Pastor.